And now, from our mile-high Denver, Colorado studios, we bring you Connie Shaw with Spirit in Action.
Hello, everyone. This is Connie Shaw, your host for the show tonight. Tonight's guest is Ms. Roshan Motivalla of Los Angeles, California, who's noted for co-founding the Downtown Los Angeles Homeless Feeding Project. Hello, Roshi. Thank you for being on the show.
Hello, Connie.
Now,
great to be here.
Thank you. Before we discuss your topic, I'd like to ask you to tell us how long you've been working with the public. For example, I understand that you were a customer service rep with Photocam in L.A. What sorts of problems and issues did you have to solve when you were doing that work?
Mostly, Connie, I was in a department where we had a lot of film which the customers would bring in for us to vault.
Yes.
And we would keep them. We had to keep all the negatives very safe, and we had to keep it for a number of years. And then when the vaults would become too full, I was asked by my boss to call up the customers. And I have to be very diplomatic and asking them to retrieve their elements.
So,
and that way I got to make a lot of friends. Some were hesitant to take their material, but others were very kind enough, and they did take it.
But it sounds as if the responsibility involved a lot of record-keeping and detail
That's
work.
Right. Exactly.
Yes. Well, now, in regard to detail work, I understand that your father was a physician by the name of Dr. Kola of Pune, India. And I'm wondering if he influenced you considerably while you were growing up in the field of service, and if you'd be willing to tell us, Roshan, about some things that you learned from your father about service and compassion.
Connie, my dad had a great influence on my life. He was a doctor for the poor. He was an MBBS doctor from Bombay, but halfway he gave up to study homeopathy, and that was, of course, a downgrade where his finance was concerned. But he was always very considerate and compassionate to his patients. If they turned up and said, "Doctor, we don't have the money to pay for the services, for the medicine," he would at once turn to his nurse and say, "Well, don't take any amount from them. Give them any tonics, whatever we have in stock." And I was witness to that right from a young age. I used to watch him a lot. He was more of a friend than a physician. He would just have to stand there with his patients, and they would confide in him all their problems, and they would feel better.
He sounds like a wonderful man who really exemplified the true meaning, originally, of medicine to heal people on all levels without harming them in any way. And obviously, he was certainly not in the field for earning money.
No, he wasn't, Connie. And later on in his life, he turned to spiritual healing. He belonged to London's National Federation of Spiritual Healers. And he would have people come over, and he would do his healing for them. He wouldn't charge a penny.
Oh, my. How fortunate you were to see his evolvement as a human being and to learn so many things about allopathy and about his later work in its various permutations. Now, what about his social service work in the community? I understand that you were engaged in some work from an early age that had to do with helping the poor, and later when you became an adult that you also did with this with your husband. Would you be able to tell us about your work in Bombay?
Yes, Connie. My husband was a great influence as regards to doing social service.
Mm-hmm.
He came from a poor family, and he knew how hard it was for youngsters to get books for studying in colleges and schools. So he, with a couple of other young friends of his, they started a system in which they would buy secondhand books.
Oh.
And then they would form a sort of a library and would give it out free to these young boys to study. He was a great one for encouraging young youth in the education field.
And did you have a name for the particular group?
Yes, it was called the Youth's Own Social League. And we had youngsters right from the age of about 5 to 25 who would gather in our apartment in Bombay. And we would then, you know, in Bombay you can sell newspapers and old bottles and all and gather money from that.
Yes.
And we collected about 35,000 rupees that way.
Oh, my.
And then we would distribute, we would buy eggs and milk and give it to the poor widows. And we would make the youngsters feel important. We would give them the charge. You see, my husband always believed that the youth have a lot of, that they have the inspiration, they have the enthusiasm, and we should entrust it to them. So that was a lovely project.
So the youth were helping themselves.
That's right.
You know, I have heard of the International Book Project, which started in Kentucky and which serves students throughout the world, but that is primarily organized by adults. I have not heard of any project that provides books for youth that was actually organized and run by youth. I think that's just a brilliant idea, and it sounds as if it was very effective.
See, Connie, it is very important that the young people get more involved in service than the adults.
Absolutely.
So that's what we tried to do. You know, we tried to instill in them that they had the capacity to do anything. Absolutely anything. And they came from poor families. And I remember that their mothers would stand outside my apartment and say, what is wrong with, what is happening in this auntie's house that these kids don't want to come out? because we would arrange picnics and go out with them, and we'd discuss all these ideas of how we could help more. We were very grateful to the Lions Club in Bombay who helped us out quite a good bit.
Oh, that's wonderful. What an inspiring project. Well, that brings us to your current work in feeding the homeless in downtown Los Angeles. I would like to ask you first, though, what do you think are the primary benefits for those people that offer selfless service?
The ones when you give of yourself.
Yes.
See, it's easy to give money and get away with it, but when you give of yourself, of your time, of your compassion, of your own... you know, of your own laughter and happiness and joy, and you share it with those, you know, who are really having a hard time of when life has given them so many shocks and blows.
Yes.
It makes you feel very happy and contented.
Absolutely.
You know, worthwhile, sort of.
So, in other words, it helps a person's self-esteem.
Absolutely.
And then
absolutely.
It opens your heart because you're really having an effect on people that have experienced a number of losses, and as a consequence, I would think that it helps you to be more grateful for your own life and blessings.
You know, Connie, it is a privilege to serve.
Yes, it is.
And I don't think we should miss any opportunity which the Creator gives it to us. I think it's like a time-wasted thing. We have been given so much, and we have to appreciate it and share. And when we go downtown, it's such a joy because we not only give them the food or whatever it is, but we give them of ourselves. We talk with them. We ask them about the Lakers, about the sports. You know, we just want to make them feel that they're normal like us.
Oh, that's lovely. So you really connect with them.
Absolutely.
In a very friendly way.
Absolutely.
Well, how did you actually become involved in feeding the homeless in Los Angeles?
I'll tell you, it began with my husband. He had this idea because he used to work downtown in the city of Los Angeles.
Yes.
And he would see a lot of homeless lying in the parks and in the streets. And he would always wonder I wonder what they were doing for food. So he came to me once and he said, why don't we just suggest it? You know, we belong to the Sai Baba groups over here. Why don't we just make sandwiches and serve it to them? So every Saturday we would gather about at least 50, 60 loaves or make at least 200 and sandwiches, peanut butter and cheese and mayonnaise, and we would decide that we would take these boxes of sandwiches and go downtown. That's how it started. And then the other Sai Baba centers joined us in, and some centers made burritos, 250 burritos, other centers then joined in with more of the sandwiches. And then twice or three times a year we would serve them hot food. And that was a joy.
Oh, my word, yes. Well, now, how many volunteers do you have each week, more or less?
We have about 6 to 8. Sometimes we have about 10 to 12. And sometimes we have 3 and 4. And let me tell you, our youngest volunteer was 6 years old when he started. Now he's 8. He was 6 years old, and his work was to hand out the teaspoons for the soups we served. And they loved him. The homeless would pat his hair and ask him to smile, and it's wonderful.
Well, that brings me to the next question. How many homeless clients do you serve, and can you tell us a bit about them? Are they families? Are they mostly men? Are they men and women?
You know what, Connie, we hardly have any women. The women and children, we have about three or four that come usually during Thanksgiving, Easter, or Christmas time.
Yes.
And then we have special, we make special gifts for them, you know, like we have these napkins or soaps or toothbrush, toothpaste, that sort of packets we make, and we give it to them every Christmas.
Oh, like toiletries, yes.
Yeah, and then we have, at most, I don't think we have many women otherwise, but mostly they are men.
About how many
and
would you say?
Some have mental problems too.
Yes, yes.
And some have been just because of jobs, losing their jobs, they have lost their homes.
Oh.
That sort of.
Yes, very heartrending stories.
Very heartrending.
And would you say you have about 50 or 100 or 100?
No. We get sometimes 150.
Oh, my.
Sometimes when we have hot food, we even go up to 175.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, and we meet out all on Wall Street downtown. And we just, they line up, we give them the tickets, they have to give me tickets, they give the tickets. There is one volunteer of ours who collects them, and then they just form a line, and they go through it with it, because we have bananas and lots of fruit. We have sometimes chips and crackers, and they love cookies. We have certain of our volunteers make special cookies for them, and they just love it.
Oh, that's tremendous. And then what about the funds to start the project?
So everyone does their own, and nobody, you know, Connie, nobody, we never know who is paying for what. Everyone does it, shares it together. It's just a very quiet, it's not like, not letting your left hand know what your right hand is doing.
So you haven't had it.
No, you don't know. No,
yes,
no, we don't set up any funds. We never ask for any money.
Yes, yes.
And everybody just does it voluntarily.
Oh, that's lovely. It sounds like it's a very smoothly functioning project.
Very functioning. And then we have also some, one of our volunteers brings about at least 200 bottles of water, bottled water, which we hand out especially during the summer.
Oh, that's excellent. Now, let me ask you this. Do you have to get a permit to feed the homeless outside in Los Angeles?
No, we don't need to have a permit, but we have to be on good terms with the LAPD. The main thing is that we have to see that they are in order, that they just don't wander around the road, and that we are really very organized.
Do you block the street off, or is it a park?
No, we just ask. We ask the volunteers to see that they cross the road and don't bother the traffic. That Wall Street is not very highly it's not a highly trafficked. Besides, it's Sunday, you know, so all the shopping areas are closed.
I understand. So it's a quieter day of the week, and it makes it much easier.
Makes it much easier.
Well, now, let me ask you this. How would people, especially young people, get in touch with you to volunteer? Is there a website or a phone number or an email address so that they would be able to connect and join in?
You know what? We have our service coordinator who manages this. You know what? There's not even a service coordinator. Everyone coordinates so beautifully downtown.
Yes.
But you know, Connie, they could also always email me if they like to want to join in.
All right. Well, what would that email address be
Let's
then?
Let me give it to you. It's Roshan Motiwala. It's Roshan, M as in Mary, Otivala at yahoo.com.
So Roshan Motiwala at yahoo.com.
Yes.
And then you would be able to reply and let them know the location and
Absolutely.
What would be involved.
Absolutely.
Well then, thank you for telling us that. Do you do any training for people that would like to join you?
No, Connie, no, there's no training. All you need to do is have a loving heart and a generosity of spirit, that's all.
Are there any requirements?
I'd like to share one anecdote with you.
Oh, please do.
Regarding the feeding.
Yes.
During we had the riots at the Rodney King time, I remember there was a lot of problem downtown. And there was a lot of chaos. And my husband was working in the city. He was an engineer in the city. And the city closed down and told all the workers to go home quickly and early before the curfew or anything started. So he also left. It was about 2 or 3 p.m. in the afternoon, and he was walking towards his parked car, which was at quite a distance, and he heard footsteps behind him, so he got a little nervous, so he started walking faster. Then the steps started coming faster on, and he was really panicked. But then he heard this voice saying from the back, "Sir, please don't worry. I'm one of your homeless, and I've come here to protect you."
Oh, wonderful.
Yes, because he was so thrilled with that when he came home. He said, you know, I cannot believe, he says, these people are, he connected with them. There was nothing that he would not do for the homeless.
Oh.
He had weak lungs, he was an asthmatic, he couldn't carry the load, but he would insist on carrying these big cartons of sandwiches, putting them in the car. Every Sunday, he would insist that we go down.
Oh.
And that also he would tell us, please put the peanut butter properly as if y'all are going to eat. Just don't scrape it through. We had a lot of problems. We had people to come and help us, and they would scrape over the peanut butter, and he would be so upset. He says, please, put it as if y'all are going to eat it.
So he wanted everything done properly.
Absolutely.
Just as if you yourselves were going to be eating that food.
That's
it had
right,
to be presented
right.
nicely. It couldn't just be slapped together, slapdash. It had to
no.
be done with love and care.
Absolutely. And Connie, he was such an inspiration because we began this project. It's over 16 years now.
Oh, my.
My son was involved with it in the beginning, and now his friends were involved, and now much of the low, I mean, we have a friend of his who's this big family, which I talk about, this youngster who comes with us every Sunday. Every Sunday, the whole family is there to help out.
Oh, that's very uplifting to hear that.
Very uplifting.
Well, now, that reminds me to ask you, Roshan, what is a typical Sunday like from the time you get ready to leave the house? What sort of loading and collecting and unloading do you do? Could you just step it through us so that people can get a sense of what your service day on Sunday entails so they can visualize what's really involved in this huge project?
All right. We leave the house at about 10:20.
All right.
We have this family who comes and picks me up.
All right.
And then we go drive off to St. Vincent's because we get a lot. We get about 200 soups, bowls of soup from St. Vincent's Meals on Wheels. Sister Alice helps us out. She was so very fond of my husband. And she did this for us. And we give her a donation, but she helps us out. And we go and collect all the soups. And then we drive downtown. And then we meet up with the other volunteers who also come, drive up in their cars full of burritos or water or fruit. And we then all just pile it up along the side of the road.
Now, do you put it on tables or boxes or anything?
No. We have it down in the cartons. And we just give it to them. The soups are all in bowls.
So it's very streamlined the way you're
very
doing it.
Very streamlined. Because, you know, Connie, we cannot do too much of. Only when we have hot food, then we get tables in.
Yes.
So we can put all the tables in and have the food put on the tables.
Yes.
But this is done very simply. We cannot have all these, you know, because I think it would become too much of a strain on even the volunteers. We want to keep it as simple as possible.
And it makes it accessible for the homeless people that they line
Absolutely.
Up with their tickets and they
Absolutely.
Get the food.
And when they pass by, they're always, we're giving them some comment or the other, some joke. Oh, they're so happy to see us. They always thank us. We bless them. They bless us.
Well, would you say that it's pretty much the same people that come week to week?
Sometimes we have different people. And we can make out, especially during the end of the month, we have more homeless come at the end of the month. And sometimes they're different, and we say, oh, there are some new faces.
Yes.
You know, that's what it is.
Well, what trends have you seen, Roshan, over the years in the downtown L.A. homeless populations that you serve?
You know, first when we began, they were very suspicious of us. They were very rough. We had to be very, you know, these people have been very disappointed in life, and life has treated them very badly.
Yes.
So then you have to treat them very, very kindly.
Yes.
As if they are one of us.
Yes.
And that's gradually through the years we have seen them change, you know. So in the beginning it was, you know, we used to get scared, oh, they're going to bust the tire, all these people, they are homeless. And, but slowly it all changed. Now they're more like friends.
So they trust you, you trust them, that there is a bond and a camaraderie that's developed.
Yeah, as you said, a camaraderie between us.
Mm-hmm. Well, now,
that's the beautiful part of it.
Oh, yes, indeed. That's a successful service project right there. Well, I've read that Los Angeles has a homeless population of 90,000. Do you know if that's still accurate? And do you know if there are sufficient shelters to take care of women and children in Los Angeles?
You know, there is a mission which does wonderful work also.
Yes.
And I think, I believe there are other areas which do have these kitchens in which they serve breakfast and food. But you know what? There's always place for more. Because I see the homeless getting more because of our times are getting more tough.
Yes, oh yes, absolutely. Yes. They're increasing incredibly everywhere, aren't they?
Yeah, incredibly. So I'm sure that they would. There must be more and more. And I hope we have more and more volunteers. I'm sure we will get more and more people do come around.
Yes.
They do come around and we increase. Sometimes when we have the sandwiches and they fall short, there's always somebody who will say, you know what, I think we should do more sandwiches next time. Or I think we should do that more project. We should have more hot food more often, more because they enjoy it so much. We should do it 3 or 4 times or 4 or 5 times more than having it only twice or 3 times.
Yes.
Because hot food is so much better for them than having just sandwiches.
Absolutely. Do you know if there are any other places in the city where they can get hot foods? In other words, do the churches rotate?
I think the churches do give, and then I think there is a... You know, see, the Salvation Army is different because it gives it to the people who have just lost the apartments or them. Or homeless are really homeless. They're ones who on the streets.
I know. In fact, you know, a few years ago, I was able to get about 100 blankets from the airlines that they were going to just be throwing away, and they were in perfectly good condition. So I felt so keenly that there were so many people on the streets here in our area in Colorado that didn't even have a blanket, so I washed them and folded them and put them in my car and loaded up the car with a case of water and some apples. And in driving around each day, wherever I saw someone who was homeless, I would just pull up and say, hello, brother, would you be open to receiving a free blanket, no strings attached, and a bottle of water and an apple? And they would say, oh, sister, yes, bless you, sister.
Yeah.
And I would say, oh, bless you, brother. And this was usually at a stoplight, and it could be contracted very, very quickly. And oftentimes, lots of people would gather around to see what was happening, and I'd just wave at all of them and go off again. But there are so many people that are in need, and there are so many organizations and institutions that have different types of toiletries or extra soaps or various things that can be very useful for homeless people. Which brings me to the next question, Roshan. What do you think are some of the basic needs of the homeless besides food and shelter? For example, do you think they need matches or toothpicks?
Some of them need shoes.
Shoes.
And you know what? The blankets idea, we do it every winter. We also get surplus quite a good bit. I think some other side of our volunteers had got a big load from Korea or somewhere, and then we give them out for Christmas time. We've given about 250 blankets out.
Oh, that's excellent.
Yeah. And I especially try and involve as many youngsters as I know. They can come over to my home and we make all these toiletry packets. This is the way the young people get involved, and they get so enthusiastic.
Oh, yes.
And then we make them give it to the homeless. You know, we stand aside.
Oh, very good. So they are involved. They make the connection themselves.
They make the connection. So then they feel that, you know, that they are a part of it.
Oh, very good. Well, now, who would you say have been some of your heroes in the field of selfless service?
Of service?
Yes. Have there been people that have inspired you to do service? And
The greatest, the most inspiring is, of course, our avatar of this golden age, our Satya Sai Baba, who always says, serve, selfless service. Hands that serve are better than lips that pray. He has been the great inspirer of all our service works projects.
And where can he be found?
He is in Prasanthi in India. And the other person I feel when I see is Amma, whose devotees who have all over the world who do so much of good work. I feel, Connie, that people don't hear about the good works that are being done. They're so surrounded always by negative thinking that we never know about the people who are doing such good, excellent work, and they are so inspiring.
Oh, there are countless unsung heroes and heroines, aren't there?
Yeah, absolutely.
And I believe you are referring to the great South Indian saint, Anandamayi?
Yes, Amma.
Yes.
The hugging saint.
Right, yes.
Oh, my. What excellent work. What inspiration.
Now, she and Sai Baba have...
Oh,
free hospitals and schools and many, many different organizations and institutions for the uplift in society in India and elsewhere. Isn't that right?
Absolutely. We have medical camps which go on over here where we have all these poor patients come, about 400, 500, and all the doctors give their service free for the whole day.
And is this in the Los Angeles downtown area?
This is in the county of Los Angeles. It's away from us in Oxnard.
And when does that take place? Once
that takes place twice a year, we have it.
Oh, excellent. It sounds as if you have quite a few very well-organized and compassionate people in your area that have been doing service work together for quite a long time.
Quite a long time.
How has your extensive involvement in selfless service changed your life, Roshan?
Oh, it has made it so much richer.
Really?
It made it so much richer, and never a dull moment. And then the young people, I have friends with even my granddaughter's college, university friends come along to me, and we have so much fun. You know, it's so great to inspire others also. It's a beautiful feeling. It has made my life so very happy and complete.
I can understand that, and I can feel that as you speak about it. That reminds me to ask you, have you ever had someone who was homeless offered to volunteer for other homeless people after that person found a home or became rehabilitated?
We had Mark, who was on the wheelchair, and Albert, who helps us out. I don't see Mark anymore. Maybe he has moved somewhere or he has managed to get a job. Albert was homeless. I think currently he does have a job. But sometimes they do get laid off, you know, when the problem occurs, and we try and help them out. But he helps us out and we help him out. He is really off the homeless, I think.
Yes. Well, what do you think are some principles to keep in mind when working with the homeless?
You know what? When we are working with the homeless, it's good to remember that you don't feel as if you are doing them a favor.
Oh, that's
because
excellent.
That's a general say, oh, we are doing a big favor. We are not doing anybody a favor.
Yes.
They are doing us a favor because they teach us compassion.
Oh,
and they teach us to give. Otherwise, we would never give.
Right.
When we see others suffering, something touches our hearts and we have to give. So that's what it is. And then we teach them, we become friends. And
yes.
The friendship, so I would say, I wouldn't even call them homeless. They come through such bad times.
Yes.
One day we may be there, one never knows.
Yes.
How
and
would it be?
So you don't want to draw any conclusions or to objectify them or anything that?
No.
These are just people who have fallen on bad times.
Absolutely.
Who are friends you haven't met, and then after you know them, then you mutually exchange the blessings involved in such a project. Well, what would you say are three or four characteristics of a solid, successful service project? What does it take, Roshan, to really make it work?
It's dedication, commitment, discipline.
Dedication,
and
commitment.
Above all, love. The main thing is love. Without that, the other three are no good. You have to love.
Yes.
If you love humanity, then you give of yourself, and you can become dedicated and disciplined, whatever follows. But you've got to love. You've got to love to share. That's its joy in itself.
I think that sums up everything that I wanted to hear you speak about, and I would just like to tell you how grateful I am that you've shared your very precious time with us this evening, Roshan, and giving us a glimpse into the love that flows between you and your recipients of the love and all of your colleagues in the downtown Los Angeles Homeless Feeding Project. Thank you so much, Roshan Motivala.
And Connie, I have to just add, it wouldn't have been possible without the love and support of my family also.
Yes.
Who are all into service.
It's been a family affair for generations.
Generations.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Connie.
All right. Good night.
Good night.